Morning, church. It's New Year's Eve. It's early in the morning. I've come into my office. I'm about 60% still got all of the junk inside. It's been a rough few days. This got influenza A officially was tested for it, but it really knocked both my wife and I off of our feet, hit our whole family actually. And I just want to say thank you to the people that stepped up on Sunday. And I know it was a truncated service. It hurt my heart to not be in the pulpit, but it also was important that I don't spread this stuff around either because it is nasty and you do not want this. But the message that I intended to preach to you has been on my heart, and you and I don't always get to accomplish our plans, but the Lord's plans never fail, ever. And so I'm pivoting, and I'm going to speak to you this morning from my office. And my heart would be that you would, as I kind of go through this message this morning, that you would maybe find yourself with a computer or your phone, and you would sit somewhere to listen to these things from my heart to you. As we get ready to enter into this new year, the message title is How Not to Survive 2025. Maybe grab a little notepad and a pen, and most definitely your Bible. And I want you to just sit there and listen and take notes and write down all the scripture references and read through those verses. You'll hear me read through them, but I want you to really listen to what God is going to say to you in this message, because I believe it's really, really important as we enter into this new year, because some of us need some things that we need to stop doing. Some of us need to start doing some things. And my prayer will be that the Holy Spirit filters that through to everyone who needs to get that. So I wanted to start. Let's pray together this morning as we get ready to begin. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak my heart to my church family. And maybe God, this was the way it needed to be. The final message of 2024, just in an intimate way, just speaking one-on-one with each person in our church. I just pray, God, that you would use this message. I pray, God, that your word that is a part of my words in the sermon, that your word would be elevated to above everything else, that we could hear clearly, God, what it is that you want us to do. Help us to not just hear it, but do it, God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 1, if you want to write this down on a notepad. But Colossians 1, verse 9 is where I'm going to start and read verses 9 through 14. And this is what the text says. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So as we're ending this year with a bow, I want us to put our sights on the new year to come, and I'm speaking to you, the house of God, to my church, to the people that I minister to, the people that I love, speaking to believers. And I believe that the Lord would have us properly put away 2024 and properly receive 2025. We've got to be able to do this, and it's always the same answer, and that is through what God's word says. And I'm going to give you what I hope are just a few things that very quickly that I believe will help you not help you to survive in 2025 if you pay attention here. And of course, I'm being a little sarcastic on that, so it's kind of a negative spin. But here's the if you don't want to survive next year in 2025, here's the number one thing that you do. Number one, give up your Bible reading. You want to fail next year? Just stop reading the Bible. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Everything that's in that verse announces that the answers are all found in the Bible for you and me. But if you don't read the Bible, you're not going to survive 2025. And I'm not trying to be cute. I mean this, and I'm deadly serious about this with you. I was at the state capitol one time, and a woman approached me, and it was an issue of life. I'd gone up and I testified at a subcommittee hearing, and a woman approached me, and she told me, she said, Pastor, I have a word from the Lord for you. And she started giving me this message that was, to be honest, absolutely ludicrous. It made no sense. It was incoherent. And I asked her, I said, where did you get this message from? And she said, the Lord. And I said, well, who is the Lord? And she couldn't really define who the Lord is. And she started to talk about nature and trees and creation and all this stuff. And I said, where's your Bible? And she said, I don't have a Bible. Well, I asked her if she's ever read a Bible. She said, I don't own a Bible. I don't have a Bible. So that to me, that is insane. And that's how I felt about that woman who approached me. If you want to wind up kind of like that lady in 2025, don't read your Bible. Just go on your inner intuition and your feelings about things. And that's where you'll end up. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You want to fail in 2025, give up reading your Bible. Here's the second thing that I want you to hear from me. If you want to fail in 2025, slow your growth down spiritually. Just slow it down and stop focusing on trying to become a better believer and a better disciple. So why would you do that? Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And I just preached through the seven churches of Revelation. And this is what Jesus said to the angel of the church of Laodicea. And I believe it's something that you and I need to hear. He said to the angel of Revelation 3, 14 through 16, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And what he's saying is that he is warning them about all of the trappings of being in church. You know, I remember one time when we first moved down to the worship area where we worship right now, and we just had chairs on the floor and really looked a lot more like a gymnasium down there than it does now. But a gal told me, well, this doesn't even look like church. And I that really puzzled me. I'm like, what is a church supposed to look like? Anyways, she Jesus warns about having all the trappings of a church, and he says, I wish you were either hot or cold. There's stuff you need to know. And I don't know if you remember this from my study with you about the seven churches of Revelation, where there were two towns that Laodicea got their waters from. Colossae was elevated, and the water would be brought through aqueducts. Cold mountain water would come from aqueducts into Laodicea. But traveling on those aqueducts, picking up all of those minerals, by the time it reached the city of Laodicea, well, it changed. It wasn't cold anymore, and it wasn't, it had picked up all the minerals and stuff from the aqueducts, and so it t tasted different. And then they also had the town of Hierapolis, where that water was. They were known in Hierapolis for their hot springs, and people would go there to soak in the hot springs. And they had water that was brought in through aqueducts to Laodicea, and both of those waters converged. Cold water from Colossae and the mountains, hot water from Hierapolis converging on Laodicea. And that water then would become lukewarm, and it would pick up all these minerals from the aqueducts, and it tasted bad. And so it tasted nasty, and people would, didn't like it. So Laodicea became known for a place that had bad lukewarm water. And Jesus literally says, "I'm about to spit you out of my mouth," the old King James, "spew you out of my mouth." It's funny because girls, that sounds like something a lady would do. I have to spew. But anyways, men, we don't spew, we barf. And that's what Jesus was saying. "I'm about to barf you out." And I'm making this graphic point to tell you that that's exactly what the Greek word says in the original language. Jesus said, "I'm going to heave you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm." So if you're not going to survive in 2025, it's going to be because you're literally slowing your growth down, and you're not going to be hot. You're not going to be cold. You're just going to get apathetic, be lukewarm. And friend, that's not good. Another thing, if you don't want to survive in 2025, here it is, number three, allow your eyes and your ears to take a break. I know how I hear and see this in my mind, but I wonder how you do in yours. But I know, as a man who's come out of the world, and God rescued me early in my life because I would have been dead by now. And so he knew in his wisdom when to save me. And I know this though, if I relaxed my mind, my ears, my eyes, if I just relax, and I can't afford to relax my mind and my ears and my eyes, and if I put those three things together, it's really two eyes, two gates, one gate of the eye and one gate of the ears that make up our mind. And if I relax that discipline of letting my mind drift, it will be destructive. You hear what I'm saying? I believe that we need to gird up the loins of our mind this year in 2025, and not let our eyes, not let our ears take a break. We need to be focused on Jesus. We need to be listening to Jesus. We need to be in his word. And that's how we're going to survive 2025. 2025 is going to be the most challenging and exhilarating and the most dangerous and the most wonderful year that we have had in our Christian faith to date. I believe that. So the Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10, "You must keep what is holy separate from what is not holy. You must keep what is clean separate from what is unclean." Well, how do you do that for the year to come and decide between what's unclean and what is clean? So you're going to want to be very discerning. You don't want to let your eyes and your ears take a break. You want your mind to be disciplined and sharp. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, "The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." There's a lot going out there in the world right now, and you and I need to not become apathetic And we need to be sharp. We need to be sober-minded. And that verse is literally telling us to take control of any thought that strays into our mind. And we need to take that thought to our commanding officer, Jesus. Here's the fourth way to not survive in 2025. Stop trusting God. And I know that sounds a little cute, but if I'm not going to make it, it's just going to be because I'm going to try to make it on my own. It's really easy, honestly, to do this in our lives. And here's what happens. How do you do that? Well, I'll tell you, you know when a person is not trusting God because they become very anxious and they become very worried. They become a big ball of nerves. And when you stop trusting God, by the way, the year that we're saying goodbye to, 2024, that year is going to haunt you. But when you trust God and you leave it with Him, you think about the things that you and I did that were awesome and the things that we didn't do that God wanted us to do and we didn't do them. And it would have been in the awesome category if we did do them, but we didn't do them. And then there are things that we do that we'd rather not talk about. So, Pastor Mike, please don't bring those things up. And I'm going to leave it alone. But do this: trust in God. He is trustworthy. But if you're not going to survive, then He's not going to be the one that you're going to be trusting in. And when you face a challenge in life, you're going to be trying to figure out how do you do it on your own. Or you're going to think that God has abandoned you and let you serve, just face the thing that you're facing with all on your own without His strength or help to get you through it. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And I know, by the way, that Eli read these verses for me when I was sick on that Sunday. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not, listen to this, this is verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? All of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Don't even drift in that direction. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, church. And that's a promise that God gave to you and I that you can pray about, that you can stand on. Lord, you promised to direct my path if I lean upon you and consult you and look to your word. And then in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, shun evil. And verse 8 actually says that doing that will actually bring health to our flesh and strength to our bones. That's what God wants for you. So, how not to survive in 2025? Here's number 5. Keep thinking about you. You want to fail next year? You just keep thinking about yourself all the time. So many people today have been conditioned to think only about themselves. And I believe this year we would do well to wean ourselves off of social media. And listen, I'm not saying that you have to get off social media. I'm saying that you can learn how to use it to where instead of it terrorizing you can terrorize it for the sake of Christ. But it is my desire that for your life to become galvanized, that this year you're able to stand up against all of the weather that's going to come into our world. You're going to flourish. But you're not going to flourish if all you think about is you. You get up in the morning, and the first thing that we need to do is not think about ourselves. When we think about us, Jesus said this: if you forget about yourself, if you die to yourself, then you're going to live. But if you think about yourself, if you live for yourself, then you're going to wind up dying. And that is so true. We do not do well when we think about ourselves. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So you want a garrison to keep guard over your heart. And this is one point building upon another, and I want to implement this into your mind. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. You know, one of the areas that I think that we do this, that, you know, because blessed is the one, I mean, that's blessed is the parent, blessed is the child, blessed is the teenager, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman. Just put yourself in that spot. Who does not do these things? And the way that you and I do these things, I think the most is through the arena of what we allow ourselves to be entertained by. And think about it. We allow a whole bunch of junk into our mind and into our heart and into our soul, and we just say, well, it's just entertainment. You think I'm mature, that stuff doesn't really bother me. Well, it gets inside of you, and you want to be very careful about that. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But verse 2 says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That is key, church. You and I need to really double down on our personal spiritual disciplines this year. We have to. And I personally believe that we are not going to have an option, because I think that we're going to see a lot of changes in the coming year. But I'm encouraging you right now to double down on your spiritual disciplines in your life. Here's the sixth thing. If you don't want to survive, here's the sixth thing that I would share with you. Start focusing on just being bored. Be bored with what you have. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. I've got news for you. If you and I start focusing on being bored with what we have, that means that you're growing unthankful, and we don't appreciate what we have. And it's going to be noticeable by how grumpy you are about things. And we want to be very careful, because things can get a hold of us. Just a little seed of discontent is not good. What are the closest things near you in your life? Think about this. Things that are the closest things that most often are a temptation for you to become bored with. Things that are within your reach right now. Maybe it's even people. Maybe it's your family, your Bible, your wife, your kids. Those are the things closest to you and I, and in life, those are the things that we can become bored with the easiest. So that means you want to keep your Bible alive when you read it. It comes to life in us. Start dating your husband or your wife, and think about this. Start being grateful to your parents and how much you love your children. Instruct your children. Friends, I can't say this enough, and I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm saying this because I love you. Your child's soul is your responsibility. You let your child choose to come to church or not? That's insane. Don't do that. Don't show your child that anything else in life is more important than their soul. As a mom or a dad, you need to be focused on the soul development of your children. The book of Hebrews tells us about the danger of becoming dull, and that's the word that is used. That word dull literally means to become sluggish or slothful or lazy or bored. So let's not become bored with the things that are closest to us. And here's number seven, and this is my last admonition. If you want to fail next year, become unproductive. Let unproductive things steal your time. Let unproductive things steal your time. Our time is going to become very precious this year. Don't let things that do not have eternal value steal your time. And I know I'm going to step on some toes here, but I need you to take inventory regarding how it is that you spend your time and what it is that you spend your time doing. And if it is not spiritually edifying, then you need to get away from it. Now, hear me out on this, and I'm not a legalist, but if you're giving up on church or Bible reading or family time because you have to go and hang out with your friends or the boys or you're going on a girls' night out, then don't expect 2025 to be something that you'll survive. It's getting harder and harder to be a believer in the days that you and I live in. There's a reason why all around the world there is this honing, there's this quickening, there's this just something is happening, and you need to stay awake and watch out for unproductive things that are going to rob you from your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17 says this. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We cannot binge watch away 2025. We have to stay awake and we need to be ready to grow for Christ. Do you know what's really sad? Most of us spent more time watching our favorite shows than we did reading our favorite verses in 2024. In 2025, there's going to be 52 Sundays for you to come and worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. How many of those Sundays will you actually be present in church? I mean, let's say you miss three, maybe four Sundays for sickness in 2025. Then let's say you miss a couple Sundays because you just had some family come and visit and you didn't want to impose on them, so you skipped church. Let's say you miss two or three more Sundays because you're traveling. What about sports? Maybe you'll miss three or four more Sundays for sports. What about bad weather, of course? So you miss two or three more for that. Now we're down to 36 Sundays. All right, so you miss all those Sundays. What about the rest of the week? Are you reading God's word daily? Out of 24 hours in a day, are you even reading a chapter a day? How about just one verse a day? You love God, or you wouldn't even be listening to this message. I'm telling you these things this morning not to beat you up. I'm telling you this because I'm your pastor, and I really do love you. I want you to survive. In 2025, I want you to grow in Christ. But to do that, and you and I both know this, you're going to have to change. How many Sundays are you going to give to Jesus in 2025? How much are you going to trust Him with tithes and offerings in 2025? How much of God's word are you going to read in 2025? How many people are you going to bring with you to church in 2025? One of the things that I'm going to encourage you to do is to read through the Bible in a year. And I'm going to attach to the email a link to a Bible reading plan that I would like for you to read. And I hope that you would print it off. Now, those of you that have YouVersion downloaded on your phone, choose a Bible reading plan that can have you read through the Bible in 365 days and start that on January 1st, tomorrow. It's New Year's Eve. And now's the time to make the changes that you need to make. I want to pray over you and then we'll close out. Father God, I recognize that 2024, it wasn't our best, God. But Lord, 2025 is here tomorrow. So we dedicate this new year to you that's in front of us. God, help us to not just survive 2025, help us to thrive and help us to sincerely grow, Father, in our faith and understanding of who you are. Help us to be the best disciple we've ever been, God, in 2025. We dedicate this year to you, and we do it all in your Son's name. Amen. Amen, church. I love you.